Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 3. We'll begin in verse number 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full... I'm just kidding. I hate when pastors do that. It drives me crazy. The benefit of going to Bible college, you hear a lot of different speakers, and so many of them, they jump right in. They're limited for time, I understand. But it's like you're turning, and then they start talking. And then it's like a sprint to get there. Daniel chapter number 3. As we get ready to head back, myself and Wyatt and Hayden, there's always a little bit of, there's excitement. We're excited to get back in the swing of things in college, but there's also a little bit of anxiety because here come the roommates. And you never know what you're going to, it is a roll of the dice every time. My first year at Bible college, I had a Syrian and in Syria they have a drought, big drought going on for the past like 20 years. So he showered once a week. That was just to conserve water. I was like, well, welcome to America. We shower every day. California's in a drought. That's okay. Shower anyway. I'll pay the... And then my next year I had a roommate, and he was a little annoying, but I got used to it. And then about halfway through the semester, he got kicked out. And that's always, you know, that's terrible. But he had a bottom bunk, and I had a top bunk. So God works in mysterious ways. I gave it a courtesy hour after he was gone before I moved my stuff down to his bunk. My roommate was like, man, you're ruthless. He's like not even out of the parking lot. You're already, I was like, I've been waiting on this since day one. Anyway. Daniel chapter number 3. Hope you're there by now. Daniel chapter number 3. This internship has been wonderful. It's been a privilege to work with Pastor. We've also worked with TJ. No, I'm just kidding. That's been good. He's so easy to pick on because he started it back in the day. He got us first. Anyway, Daniel chapter number 3. I better get started. Verse number 19. You all are very familiar with the story. We'll just pick up there and kind of in the middle. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Shenandoah Baptist Church. I thank you for the ability to stand up and preach your word. I pray that you would empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. I pray that you would give me the words to say and give us a good time in your house tonight. In your name I pray, amen. In this story, I'm sure you're all very familiar. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar had built a golden statue and had commanded that when you hear the music, bow down to the statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said, we're not going to do that. And when the music played, they didn't bow. So the king brought him before them and he said, what are you doing? You've got to bow and the music plays. And they said, we're not going to do that. And it said that his visage changed with those men. Because before this, they had had favor in the sight of the king. But the king was a prideful man, and we see that in this passage, his wrath was kindled against them. So he said, cast them into the fiery furnace. And from time to time in our lives, I think everyone finds themselves occasionally in a fiery furnace. We all go through trials and temptations in our life. Occasionally, God puts us in the fiery furnace to try our faith. But sometimes we build ourselves a fiery furnace that God never intended for us to go through. It's our own foolish decisions and mistakes. I've heard it said people fall back on God's grace as a safety net. But if you get in a boat and go out to the middle of a lake, and then you shoot 6 holes in the bottom of the boat, you can't just say, oh, God, help the boat not to sink. No, you just shot holes in the boat, you're going to sink. That's, you know, your actions still have consequences. And we might make a foolish decision that leads to a trying time in our life. Brian Sams, this year at teen camp, got the privilege to hear him speak. And he said, you never know the consequences of your choices, but you also never know how long those consequences will be to your choices. You make a decision in an instant, and the consequences can be there for a lifetime. Whether your trial is self-inflicted or if God is placing you in that furnace, there are some helps that you will find in the fiery furnace if you look, and we can see them here in this passage. Number one is God's providence. God's providence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't there by mistake. You don't accidentally end up in a furnace. God isn't surprised by this. I heard Steve Jarrett once said, he's a traveling evangelist, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God is not surprised by anything. He put us here, and he puts you in that furnace for a reason. Notice verse 21. It says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and other garments. They were bound. But then if you jump down to verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. So in 21, they were bound. 25, they were loose. Their bands were apparently burned away. Maybe some of you in your life, you have a band. You have something that's restricting your movement, something that's preventing you from really reaching your full potential for God. Maybe it's limiting your ministry or your service for God. Maybe it's some sin in your life that is hurting you or others. Whatever it is that is in your life that is contrary to God and His Word, He might bring you to a fiery furnace to burn that band so that you can serve Him freely. He wants to remove whatever it is in your life that's holding you back. It could be God's providence bringing you into the fiery furnace. And also, it is trusting in God's providence that can help you in the midst of that trial. They say you're either coming out of a trial, going into a trial, or you're in a trial. I think that's so true. You will find God's providence. It helps me when I'm doing something to know that there's a reason why I'm doing it. My dad, he used to have what he called busy work around the house. There was one time, there was this pile of dirt in our backyard. And he just had us move this pile of dirt. Whenever we were a little hyper, rowdy, running around the house, he'd say, y'all need to go move the dirt. And it was this huge pile. And we moved it from here to here, and then to here, and then back to here, and then over here. And we were living in Knoxville at the time. And it was so pointless. And that's why it was so infuriating, because there was no point to it. It was just to waste our energy. I'm sure he enjoyed the next 2-hour nap after that, but in our lives, it's important to remember that you're not going through this trial for nothing. It's not pointless. There is a purpose for it. God's providence can be seen in the fiery furnace. But also, number two, God's power. When they were thrown in the furnace, it was 7 times hotter. They should have died instantly, but they didn't. God's power sustained them. In that same way, some of the furnaces that God brings us through should have beat us too, but God's power sustains us. Sometimes people in the world look at Christians and all the things that we go through and they say, man, how in the world? God's power. And it's important to remember that the world is always watching. They are watching. We're going through a trial to see how we're going to react. That way, when God's power does get us through, we can give all the glory and honor to God, and they'll know, well, that had to be God, because there's no way Jared May could have made it out of there. When I see someone who doesn't know the Lord go through the loss of a loved one, I'm always amazed. I just don't know how they do it. I've done it with God, and we have the promise of heaven, and we have God to get us through that trial. But a lost person, they don't have that comfort. They don't have that peace. And I don't know how they do it. The power of God can sustain us through that trial or any other trial. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The emphasis in that verse is through Christ. Too many times we try to make it through the fire in our own strength, but our flesh is weak. Paul said, I know that in me, that is, that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We must rely on God's power. Charles Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. Oh, that convicted me. One New Year's Day, right before World War II, they're having the Rose Parade there in Pasadena, California. And a beautiful float covered in American red roses suddenly sputtered, choked up, and just quit. It just quit right there in the middle of the parade. It was out of gas. The whole parade was stopped for 40 minutes while somebody ran and got a gas can, ran out there and filled it up. And the ironic thing was that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With all of its vast oil resources, their float ran out of gas. You had one job. Even though Christians have access to God's omnipotence, if we do not avail ourselves to it, we'll run out of power. We have more access to God's power than the Standard Oil Company has to oil. It is limitless. It is boundless. But how many times do we sputter and just quit and just give up? Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Greek word for power in this verse is dynami, where we get our word dynamite from. Power. We have God's power that gets us through the fiery furnace. We have God's providence. We have God's power. And lastly, we have God's presence. Look at verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God promises never to leave us or forsake us. And aren't you glad that He's right there with us in the furnace? That promise is not just applied to the mountaintop, but also to the valley. I believe the presence of God strengthened them. It doesn't say that God was on the outside of the furnace looking in through a window. No, God was in the midst of the fire. The Bible says that He was tempted in all points like as we were. No matter what the trial is, no matter what the temptation is, Jesus faced it and conquered it. So it's comforting to know that He's there. The next time in your life that you feel things are heating up, you feel things that you might be preparing to go into a trial and you're headed back in that fiery furnace, don't worry, because you can rest knowing that God's providence is what brought you to that fiery furnace. God's power will get you through it, and God's presence will be with you the whole time. But let me also challenge you to remember that the world is watching when we go through the fiery furnace. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you go on to the end, it says in verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. A fire furnace can be an incredible opportunity for a Christian to give God all the glory and honor so that the world can look and say, there is no other God like that God. Right. Do you want to be promoted in the kingdom of Christ? Stay faithful in the fiery trial. We look at this and it's easy for us to think, wow, I mean, they had, you know, incredible faith. They just walked right into that furnace. But that's because we've all heard this story since we were a little kid. We know that they get delivered. I don't think they knew they were going to be delivered. For all they knew, they were going to walk in that furnace and be burnt to a crisp. They showed incredible faith by being willing, even once the men died. It says before they were even in there, the men or escorting them died. I don't know about you, but if I'm this close to the guillotine or to the furnace and the men that take me there die, I'm running away. There's no incentive to go in the furnace, but they went anyway. And let's remember in our trial that the purpose is maybe to burn away those bands, maybe to test your faith, but the end result should always be to give God all the glory and honor and praise so that when I get out of the furnace, people can watch and they can say, blessed be the God of Jared May. And I hope that's your prayer as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so